creativity, love,
forgiveness,
shy,
dog,
fly.
Hello. Good evening. So first of all, let me say I appreciate everybody's. I don't know what Blog Talk had going on a minute ago. I had to cancel out the whole episode, start a fresh episode, retype everything. So yeah, I don't know. It kept kicking me out. I couldn't hear. I couldn't see. But we're here now. And let's get ready to go because we're already 12 minutes behind. Anybody knows me, I'm a stickler for time. So for anybody that doesn't know me, let me introduce myself. I'm your girl, Shay Dawn, here with Fly Conversations with Shay Dawn, where the conversation is always, well, just simply we fly. We talk about everything. There's nothing off limits. And we want to always come with the real, raw conversation. So tonight, I have some awesome people on with me. Yay! Some really, really awesome people. So let me give you a little background. This Saturday, February 16th at 6 p.m., we will be having a Fly Conversation Relationship Symposium. And this symposium is surrounding five men, five women, both airing out what they're experiencing in the dating scene, what they're in the relationship world, in hopes that we can come to some kind of understanding of each other. We hear women talk, we hear men talk, but is anybody really talking to each other or at each other so that we can get some sort of an understanding? So tonight, just to give you a taste of what we have ready and what we have Saturday, I have a few of the panelists on with me that will be giving you just a taste of what they're going to bring the table Saturday. And I will say this, if you're not ready for some real raw talk, nothing sugar-coated, this is not the kind of conversation for you. So I do know I have the lovely, the wonderful, the beautiful Miss Alisa Anderson Blue. Say hey, Miss A.
Hello out there.
We also have with us the debonair, I don't know what other word I can use for him right at this moment. The alpha male himself. There we go. Mr. Michael McCutcheon. Mike, say hi to the people. Mike, you there? He might put me on mute. He'll come back in. And let's just see. I think I have Mr. Teddy D himself, the croon author, the caterer. There it is. Mr. Dwayne Culley. Dwayne, say hey to the people, hon.
Hey.
You brought the laugh on. I like that.
Don't come up here and try to be sweet talking to people with your deep melodious voice, okay?
Hey.
Don't do it today.
Hey, I'm ready. Gotta bring it.
Well, listen. Since you're ready, then let's get it cracking, sir. Give me a taste of what it is that you're bringing from what it is that you've experienced.
Well, you know what? I think I just. Why is it so difficult to date in this season? That is just my biggest question. I mean, why is it so difficult to date our sisters in this season? Let me get that correct. That's my biggest thing. Why is it so difficult?
Okay, so what is it that you're finding difficult? What is happening with you that you're finding to be difficult?
Well, I don't really think it's just me. I think in general and actually hearing the consensus from other brothers, it's just, you know, trying to approach a sister without all the attitude. Now, don't get me wrong. It is totally sexy to be independent. It is totally, you know, sexy to be able to hold your own. But I also think that there should be a balance when it comes to a man and his role in your life. And for some reason, sisters are just so aggressive until you can actually smell them before you even reach their scent. And when I say smell them, meaning their attitude, what they push off is totally just depressing.
Wow. Wow.
So, ladies, I need to hear from y'all, because this is what I'm getting as a 52-year-old black, totally single male, and I simply just want to love one woman, and it is crazy that it is this difficult to do that.
So Miss A, do you wanna comment?
Yes. Let me see how I want to address that one. The sad part about that one is I can't totally disagree with what he is saying,
mm-hmm.
but there is always a reason behind the attitudes that we're given off. And it's because in this day and time, we're talking about 2019, some men still want to dominate the woman. They want to kind of break down their independence. They don't like the woman to stand strong. And fight. One guy that I ran into had the audacity to tell me that's why we choose other races and white women or any other race other than the African-American woman, because we tend to portray such strength and not allow them to be the man. But the real reason is so few real men out here. We have men out here still trying to hold on to their moms and are afraid of a partnership. It's more like they want a servant. And so that is the reason behind some of the attitudes that we do give off, because let's partner together and let's do this thing together. No one, even though the male is supposed to be the dominant one in the relationship, but there is a way to do that.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so just to bring the people up to date, up to speed a little bit here. So Dwayne started us off, and he says his issue that he's coming up against is pretty much, you know, he could smell the attitude and the aura that's given off before he even gets to the woman. Miss A came back and said, well, he's not necessarily wrong. However, there is a lot of attitude because a couple of things, men still holding on to their mothers, don't want a partner. They want to dominate and control. I do think I saw Mike come on. Mike, are you on, love?
Yes, I'm on.
Awesome. See, y'all hear him trying to come up here and trying to act like he's sexy. Y'all better stop playing with these women coming here and putting the, I'm on. So listen, come on, Mike. Let me know what it is that you're experiencing, or even if you want to address some of the things that I've just given a rundown of what was said.
Well, I see what the young lady is saying about the men, you know, running, trying to run the woman, or, you know, in other words, trying to control her. But my grandfather used to tell me a man must be a well ruler of his home. Well, when he said well ruler, at first when I was younger, I didn't understand it. But what he means is make sure a home is taken care of. That means the woman as well. But today's women right now, because of in corporate America, and they're the right now the provider in the homes, because the black man at this time is not making as much money as the black woman. So for him to be an authority figure in his household has been depleted, because of the fact of the roles are now reversed. Now the woman is the breadwinner and the man is basically sitting home and not making as much, so she don't value him as she should. You know, and as us being men, we need to feel valued, you know, and that's our biggest issue today. You know, I love my black woman, you know, it's my black woman. I love y'all. It's a beautiful thing. But right now, you know, the problem is that other cultures, and it's true, they're more submissive. And I understand why the black woman's so strong, because of all the pressures and all the things she had to endure over time that made her to become strong and more
Mike,
independent.
Mike,
mm-hmm.
So, Mike, baby, we're going to go ahead and throw a wrench in this right now.
Okay,
right now.
Go ahead, throw the wrench.
Y'all know me. I told y'all we're going for the jugular on this. So when you say submissive, please help me understand what your understanding and definition of submissive is.
It means that in other cultures, they actually take care of their man. You know what I'm saying? I'd have been all over the world, and they actually – you know, even though they're strong or whatever, when it comes to their husband, like in Africa, when it comes to their husbands, they are submissive. They are actually succumbing to his authority. And they actually, you know, they stay in their lane. They play their roles. Now, I love my Black American women, so I want a woman strong. I grew up with a strong mother, so I don't mind a strong woman. But it's a time to be strong and it's a time to be submissive. And somehow or another, these roles has been, you know, they've been washed away. You know, everybody wants to be on equal playing fields, but God didn't made us that way. We all ain't made equal because man was made, and God said he created man, but woman was made from man. So you can't be as strong as a man.
Mm.
But you can. A man doesn't have to make you feel inferior at the same time. Everybody has a role to play, but everybody don't want to play their role, and that's the issue. Men don't know how to be men, and women don't know how to be women.
Okay. So now let me also just let our listeners know, for those of you listening, you can always press 1 if you'd like to make a comment or ask anybody questions. Panelists, none of you are on mute, so should you have something you want to say, please go ahead and begin to speak. Yes, somebody was getting ready to say something. Okay, so let me say this. Yes, I will agree and say that there is a time and a place for everything. One thing about strength that I'm finding, it's hard to just turn strength off. So to me, I don't see how you can say you want a strong woman, but you want her to pick and choose when to be strong. When, I mean, let's just go ahead and be real about this for a moment. In my experience, I've had to be strong all the time because the men that I've come across, you want to pick and choose when you want to step up. You want to pick and choose when you think it's something that you want to actually involve yourself in, or you just decide that, you know. And let me say this because I've had conversations with other people and other women. You know, my big sister Valencia had to school me on some stuff that men are, how much different they are from women. How much, you know, women, we can talk to our girlfriends and say, hey, let me ask your opinion. A man, he might just want to talk facts. He don't want to do all that opinion stuff. And I got that. But at the same time, we have had to be strong because we have to raise children by ourselves. And not saying that it's every man, but I think where the disconnect comes is because someone like me, having had to raise my son for 7 years by myself, I don't know anything else but to be strong. I don't know when to step down because nobody else has paid my bills. Nobody has been there to deal with the things that I've had to deal with by myself for the 7 years that I've had to do this alone. So where is our understanding of, first of all, I have to trust that you can take care of us. I have to trust that you can provide and step in and handle things the way they should be handled. Where's our understanding?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. Coming from a big family, my mom raised us all, so I definitely understand where you're coming from with that.
Okay, so
And the understanding comes in is that I understand the fact that, you know, okay, here it is, this young lady, she's been raising her child, she's been a single mother, she's been holding her own, now I have to come in here and be that man. Okay, my issue is the women now are not letting the man be the man. Like the brother said, you're not letting us be the man. You know, you want to open your own doors. You know, a man come in and say, well, we're going to do it this way. No, we're going to do it this way. Sometimes to be great, somebody in the relationship got to be the one that submits, and then the other one can lead. But then if you're both trying to lead, who's going to follow? you can't both leave, because, you know, you can both go in different directions. Then there's the house divided. And what the woman, the single woman that raising the child by themselves, what they have to understand is when you inviting a man into your home, inviting a man into your family, you have to take a step back so he can be that man. Sometimes it's hard to do. It is very hard to do, especially if you've been leading role for that long. But if a man going to lead his family, the woman has to let him lead. And then when he makes mistakes, you know, you sit there and you tell him the mistakes he's made. You help him along the way. That's why you consider they help me, because you help him along the way to conquer and to be that authority figure in the household. Not to rule the household, because really we know the woman rules the household. But to be that man, to make sure the finances are done, to make sure that he's making sure that the child is taken care of, the wife is taken care of, everybody's taken care of. And then, you know, the woman actually has the rule over the house. We know this.
Okay.
This has been going on for generations.
So I'm save this comment, but then we have a comment from a listener. I don't know that I agree with this statement, let a man be a man. I can't let you be what you should already be. You can address that when we come back. Let's see what our listener. Yes, hello.
# amen.
Amen.
I was itching to say that. How I'm going to let you be a man. Okay, I'm sorry. That's number one. Hey, it's Valencia. I can't wait till Saturday. I'm very excited. I'm driving from Louisiana to witness this. I will have questions. But what I wanted to say, Queen, on what you were saying about being a strong woman, and you know, I could definitely relate to being that strong woman and that single motherhood life. But what, you know, what I've told, you know, what we've discussed in private conversations and what I want all women to understand is that it's not like you're trading strength for weakness. And when we look at that, then we look at, you know, submissive and humble and all of that stuff, and we don't want a part of it. It's a different kind of strength. That's it. Because now, you know, being married, and being a wife, I'm still that strong, go hard Valencia, but it's a different kind of strength. And in fact, I feel like I'm stronger than I was as a single woman. And I think it's just a mindset that we have when we think of strong women. It's a mindset. So you don't lose your strength when you become involved, you know, with a man or become a wife. It's a different kind of strength. So that's my 5 cents. Thank you for allowing me to say my 2 cents.
Lady. Lady.
Queen. Okay. I don't know. She may be having some technical difficulties, but I would love to hear you guys' response on that. Queen Shannon, you back?
Yep. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, but can y'all hear me?
Oh. Yes, I can hear you. I promise Blog Talk don't
want
me to be great today, but I'm going to be great. Go ahead, Dwayne. We got you.
Okay. So I think for me, you know, do you ladies really want a man? Because, the brother is actually simply trying to pour out that, you know, nobody's saying that you should give up your independence or, you know, the power and stuff that you have as a black woman or independent woman, nothing like that. I think what we're simply saying is that can we just, like, get along? I guess that's the appropriate word to say, because I don't understand where all this stuff is coming from when if you seriously are – into somebody, and that man is, you know, and even if in the case that the woman might be making more than that man, why I think, Shannon, do you feel like that a brother should totally take all the finances in the house if he's married and you guys are supposed to be a team? Is that supposed to be his responsibility totally?
I think that all depends on the household. In my opinion, whatever you choose for your household is what works for you. The household I grew up in, yeah, my father took care of all the bills, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and she made sure we were good. There was a full-course hot meal every single night. House was always clean. Now let me rewind, because I said he made sure the bills were paid, meaning he brought the money in, but my mother made sure that everything was paid and on time, that there was always food, that there was all the linens were clean. She took care of everything that had to do with the house. All my father had to do was work and come in the house, sit down, eat his dinner, take a shower or whatever he wanted to do, and go to bed, ready for the next day.
Okay,
in
so,
that household,
so
that worked.
Okay, well, we're in a different era. You know, we're in a different economy. We're in a different time. And all I'm simply saying is that, I mean, you may meet a brother that is able to, you know, totally take care of all the responsibility. You might meet a guy that might not be in that position. So does that mean that he's not dateable, that he's not marriage material, just because he's not able to take care of all the bills in the house? And if both of you guys are working, does that make him like a loser?
My opinion, and Miss A, jump in anytime. I'm not saying makes him a loser. I will say that if a woman that is looking for that kind of man rejects a man that doesn't have that, I don't see why she should be looked at wrong or crazy, because to her, he would be a loser, if that makes sense. Me personally, no. But if there are women that are looking for a man to just take care of them in that sense, if you don't present that to her, she should not be called a gold digger or something else or whatever it is you want to call her, because she doesn't want less than what she thinks she deserves or what she feels she deserves.
Okay, that you know what? That's cool. But you also have women that use the cookie monster as a weapon. And so I don't really understand why women feel like they're the only people in the bedroom.
Hmm. Anybody else want to
y'all don't
say
get quiet
anything?
Now.
Okay, don't
yeah,
get quiet,
so. Don't get quiet.
Oh, you know, now I concur on that because
not you, bro. I'm talking about these women. I want to hear these females.
No. I'm agreeing with you now because most of the time they think the cookie runs the house, and you know, I'm an elder, so. That bed don't faze me. I want a woman to be a woman. I don't need a woman to cook for me. I don't need a woman to clean for me. I don't need a woman to wash
Thank
my clothes because I'm independent.
Thank you.
My thing, I'm just looking for love, L-O-V-E. If you
exactly.
give me that, I'm good. Your poom poom don't mean nothing to me no more. It doesn't mean
Hello.
Nothing. I've outgrown that. Now I want a woman to love me, and I love her for the rest of my life because I'm in the last quarter of mine. You know what I'm saying? So
Amen.
I'm about at the
yeah.
end. So all
yeah.
I'm looking for is love. So now
right.
when a woman presents her body, it means nothing because I'm looking for intellect. So why do women feel like the body, her body, controls a man? When she believes that, then she really, in a sense, when he's young, she does. But when he gets older, she doesn't. So what do you have to bring to the table? Especially right
besides the cooking box.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. No, I was gonna say, Miss A, you've been awfully quiet. I know you got something to say. Because I know you have something to say.
Better come right, because we're gonna eat your head off. You better come right.
There are two comments I want to address. There was a comment made earlier in reference to, if the woman makes more money than the man, then all of a sudden she feels like she's superior. That is not the case. A lot of times a man automatically feels that way, and he puts such a tension in the household himself because he's feeling inferior that he actually has some type of animosity or resentment against that woman who's just going out there and making ends meet in that partnership. He's holding that against her. So he really needs to check himself on that tip. Also,
I don't agree with that one.
Okay, well, let her do another point, and then we'll talk about it.
Been
What's
there,
the other
done
point?
It, got a trophy from it. I've experienced that. to the point where, well, you're making all the money. Why the little fly comment? You make all the money, you pick up the tab. I'm not saying that. I may be able to take you to Red Lobster, but you can take me to eat the McDonald's. I'm not materialistic. But don't say because you're making all the money, then you got to foot everything. And when we go out, leave the tip. I don't have an issue with that. But don't come at me left because I just happened to make a few more coins than you. So that was that animosity and that inferiority was coming from internally, not something that was being given off by the woman. Also, you say dating in this time, women presenting the cookie. I've experienced in this last year when you open up a conversation with a male, they want to tell you, oh, I can flip you. I don't want to hear none of that. I don't even know what you can do for me in the bedroom either. I want to know, do you know what a 401k plan is?
No, that's right.
But you're saying women do, but that's what men do. Oh, no, you can't. Then lick your lollipops. We cannot build anything from that. And that's when the conversations end. You way past age of, now when you're 19, 20, mid-20s, maybe some early 30s, you can excite a woman by telling her what you can do to her in the bedroom. While women are presenting the cookies, it must be the caliber of women you're dealing with. Because at a certain at a certain age, we're over that as well.
Oh, no, let me say this, sister. I can't tell you how many pictures that I see of women in our age bracket. First thing they got is they assets turned around, you know, it's like enticing pictures of how big their butt is or, you know, cleavage showing. And then when a man, so when you present a picture of those type of things and I come at you that way, it's because of your presentation. But as far as this brother, like he just said, when we were like in a different age bracket, of course we did things. When you get older, you kind of look at, man, you know what? First of all, we're in a time right now that AIDS will kill you. So this brother ain't just running up to no anybody. I ain't promiscuous, and I don't say that lightly. I'm not. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm still a man. I desire a woman, but I can wait until I find the right woman. So, unfortunately, you do have some sisters that play that game, and I used to, Jesus, I've been through that so much earlier in my bam, bam, thank you, ma'am type of experiences. But at this point, it's just that I think what we're saying is that, you know, just like a woman feels a man should be in a certain position, there are brothers that can do, basically, they can run a house with a cooking clean, all those things can be done. So, again, we don't need you to, you know, show that other thing. What we're looking for is somebody that's going to be a win-win, and it's on both sides. And so I think the thing that we're trying to say, if there are women out there like you're presenting, where are they? That's the question.
I'm going to tell you
where
they are.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, let me to answer him. I'll tell you where we are. We are in our house trying to hide from those kind of men. That's where we are. We don't want to go out. We don't want to be bothered. We don't want to talk to you. We are in our house doing what we're doing with our children, with everything else we got going on, busying ourselves in other manners because there's too much aggravation and headache to deal with all of that we're dealing with. Now, you can go ahead on, Mike.
Okay. Now, I had a question today from a friend of mine. And today, women are not happy. And it's not just happy with life. You find a lot of women that's not happy. So when a man comes in, if she's not happy, how can she expect him to make her happy? There's no way possible. So happiness is within. So if a man comes in, all he does is enhance that happiness because he's already going into a good situation. But majority of the time, we as men, we going into a bad situation. She done been hurt. She done been scarred. And then now we have to come in here and try to pick up the pieces, and we take the blunt of all the abuse that she's occurred over the years.
Do you think that's one-sided, though?
No, it goes both ways. But majority of the time, like, look at myself. When I was married to a woman that was scarred, Now, I'm going in and open, realizing that, yo, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to be. And she brought all her baggage with her, which I didn't know anything about. 22. She was 25. So she couldn't ask.
You're kind of breaking up a little, Mike.
Okay, I'm sorry. She done had some experiences over me. So with that being said, you know, she had a lot of baggage. But it's all said and done. She wanted to run the relationship. She was an older power. And I was decided to lay it from now that I'm older, I don't give women that lead no more. You're not going to just think you can just run me anymore. That's not going to happen. Now, we can come on a secret, you know, equal playing field. We're good. But there's no equality in the relationship now. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's out for self. And if everybody's out for self, how can you have equality?
Mm.
Can I interject?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Valencia. I kind of wanted to rewind and go back to the comment about women not being happy. And I don't want anybody to confuse the difference between a male and a man or a female and a woman, two different things. Because when a female becomes a woman, she knows how to find happiness within herself.
Mm.
That's number one. And then number two, the last comment I think you said about, refresh my memory because I had to get that part out. You said, about women that are scarred. It's not
mm-hmm.
the women
yeah.
that are scarred that you need to worry about. It's the ones that's wounded. Because when you're scarred, that you heal from whatever wounds that you had. Because I could honestly admit, by the time I got married, I was scarred. You can't go through certain things in life and not end up getting wounded. But by the time I got married and met my husband, I had scars because those wounds healed. So you want a woman that, you know, that's a warrior and, you know, those things that a woman should be. But scars are okay. That means that she made it through whatever battles and she's good versus a woman that's wounded. That means she's not healed from whatever injured her. So that's what I had to say.
And from now, I want to add on to that. And to say that, I'm not sure whose phone that is. Hold on, I'm going to just kind of mute everybody real quick until I can figure out whose phone that is. To add on to what Valencia said, you don't hear it as much from men because, for men, that's not something we talk about. That's not something
right.
they want to openly admit to and say and that it actually is a wound or a scar. Now, I can tell you, I've dated men. Two I can think off the top of my head. Both were damaged, so to speak, by their own mothers. And it showed in everything they did. It showed in the amount of lies they told. It showed in the lack of respect for other women, but let them tell it. Now, matter of fact, perfect example, the one told me when he was 16, his mother put him out of her house because he wore his stepfather's socks to school. He's 16, she put him out. Now, that was a wound. He's not scarred because he never healed from that. And anytime he talks about it, his reply to everything is, no, that made me the best person I could be. This made me more reliant on myself. I do everything for myself and you know, I'm da-da-da-da-da. And if you and to tell him, no, you haven't healed from that. Have you ever gone back and actually sat with your mother and said, hey, this is how that made me feel, that the woman that gave birth to me chose somebody else over me and didn't want me? So why would I now respect any other woman when this woman that gave birth to me did me this way? If she did me dirty, every woman will do me dirty. And you treated women in that sense. But for men, it's a lot less, you know, they're not as open to say, yeah, this is what happened. This is how I was hurt. This is what went on. Men don't do that. So to say that it's you know, more on the male side that they have to deal with the wounded and scarred woman, I have to say I absolutely totally disagree with that statement in its entirety because I have seen it.
Okay, and I want to interject on that. Now, I've I've been hurt by my moms. I was put away at 16 because a man told her to do what she want, what he wanted her to do, and she did it. Okay, so we all have our histories. We all have our stories and all that. It's all in how you deal with it. Okay, I can sit here and say, yeah, I was scarred. But guess what? You know what I'm saying? You have to put those things behind you because of the fact that there's nothing you can do about it. It's the past. If you live in the past, you can never go on with the future. There's no way possible. So that's why I tell people, you know, if you enter into a relationship or enter into anything that's a commitment, you got to let your past be the past. Because if you don't, you can never go for it. You'll never be happy. You'll never be successful, no matter what you do. If you let your past enter into your future or into the present, you're killing anything that you want to accomplish, especially in a relationship. You know, and I've been hurt by women. Of course I have. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a history. Everybody has that. It's just all in how you deal with it. I'm finding right now at between the ages of 40 and 55, people are not getting married no more. It's hard to find someone that wants to get married between the ages of 40 and 55. What do y'all think about that?
So I want to get married. I'm 52. I do.
I'm saying it's hard to find. I ain't saying it's
impossible. You're right.
It's hard to find.
Yeah.
Well, I can't answer that because I'm still 25. So, I don't know.
We know you got
25 minutes to be on the call.
So, I mean, what's the dilemma there? Why is it so hard between the ages of 40 to 55 to find someone to marry in that age bracket? Now, you can go marry somebody 25. A man can go get a 25-year-old just like a woman can. But that ain't going to make you happy because they don't have the understanding or the complexity of to understand where or what to do in a serious committed relationship. So you get someone in your age bracket, they so scarred and hurt and been damaged that it takes forever to get to that level where you want to be married.
Okay, so Miss A, I don't know your age, but I do know you're between that age of 40 and 55. Do you want to get married again?
Actually, I do. Let me tell you something.
You hesitated.
I'm going to tell you some things that have been a turnoff. Like, I met this really nice guy. He was about 55. But when you're 55 and you have a 2-year-old, I'm ready to be grandparents. I can't be a stepmom.
Right.
Well, that man putting it down. That's all that is. I mean, you can't blame
right.
See that? See this or that? Job. It's like, no. I'm counting the additional child support years, and we trying to build. And, you know, you don't want to deal at this age with baby mama drama.
Right.
I mean, it's different when they have teenagers, but this is a 2-year-old. I'm like, okay, no hard feelings. I also want to address something that I can't stand to hear people say. When they say, I need someone to complete me. Well, if you're in a stage where you are already not a complete person, then you need to step back and date yourself.
Mm. Amen.
I'm already a complete person. Now I need someone to compliment me as well as I compliment them. And we can build on that. But if you're not a complete person, step back.
Right.
Amen.
That's deep.
Oh, y'all
but
quiet now.
Nobody's still addressed the question, why is it so hard to find someone to marry between the ages of 40 and 55?
I don't know. They ain't on their Social Security. I don't.
You know what?
In fact, people are not getting married like they used to. You know, it's not even happening like that anymore.
I'm gonna tell you some of the issues that we also are struggling with. It takes a minute or two Because a lot of people in our age group really, really, really do want to get married. It takes a minute or two to make sure they want you and just you and not you and your brother. We run into a lot of that. You got to admit it.
Mm. That's true. This
is
the truth.
Sides, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So we
on both
agree
sides.
On that point. And so,
on both
you're
sides,
right.
You know, Steve Harvey messed up everything. Steve Harvey messed up everything thinking like a man.
Steve Harvey did it.
Yeah, he did it.
His,
I think like a man thing really himself. Messed up everything. Yeah.
Well, it should be thinking like a coon, but go ahead.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess we're all in agreement that Steve Harvey is definitely not the one to listen to.
No.
Not at all. But I think it's more of being cautious. Because at that age group or our age group, we want it to be the last person. We don't have time for this in and out. So you want to be 100%, let's say you want to be 200% because you don't have time for the back and forth. So you want, no one wants to get married, we're just taking a longer time to decide if this is the person. Because this is the final person you want to build with and you want to travel with or do whatever you want to do for the last centuries.
Right.
And so I think it's just a big hesitation because of that.
One
of y'all were talking.
Yeah, that was me. I didn't want to cut off.
Okay.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
What I was about to say was I also think that, you know, around this time, you're kind of set in your ways, and either you've been married a couple of times, you've dated multiple times, and so at this point now, it's almost like, you know, hey, I mean, the rest of these years, I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to do me. And I think that's the mindset that, you know, most guys and most women have in that bracket until you actually meet somebody that really, you know, makes you think twice about what you're doing. But as I said at the beginning, I just, you know, it just, man, I mean, because we are at this level, I would think that our mindset and maturity would be so much different when it comes to dating. I just don't.
It should be.
It's crazy to me.
It should be. However, I'm going to be honest. I will be honest and say this. I do think it's a lot of, as far as women are concerned, it's a lot of all the women's movement that does mess with a lot.
No.
I'm going to be honest about it because the real function behind the women's movement is to empower other women to go after your dreams, pursue your dreams, go make it happen. You know, you can be a successful entrepreneur. You can be whatever it is you choose to be. But there are some that have flipped it to the point of you don't need a man. You don't have to ask your husband for this. You don't, you know, you stash away money over here to keep it from it. You never let a man make more than you. So somewhere along the line of the originality of what a women's movement was supposed to be, it now flipped to be against men. And now we I don't need a man. You know, I'll do it myself. I'll make it happen myself. And on the flip side now, that's on the woman's side. But on the man's side, and Miss A said this earlier, I guess – more commonly now with men, you have to find out if they like women and women alone.
Yep.
And be honest, you have to also find out if they like more than one woman. Because at the end of the day, nobody can make a promise and ever say that I'll never cheat. I don't think anybody could ever make that promise. That can be your intent. But to actually just verbalize that, I don't know that I would even believe you if you told me that. I believe you if you said, I intend to do right by you every step of the way. I got that. But when you got men out here, he got a whole wife and kids at the house, and he's telling you he's divorced, and then here come the wife calling you. It really puts a damper on a lot, because it's like, well, if that's what I'd have to get into, I don't even want to be married. So we need, especially some married men, to be a little more cognizant, which I'm sure they're not going to be, but be more cognizant of what you're putting out to cause, to give women to look at. Because I'll be honest, do you know how many married men have jumped off in my inbox? And I'm just going to be real and frank with it. Pastors too, because y'all know I'm just going to keep it all the way funky. Pastors too, all in my inbox. And and my reply is, how are y'all doing? How are you and your wife? Why are you in my box? Musicians, all kinds of married men. And for me, like, first of all, I can't respect you because you don't respect you don't respect what you said you wanted in your life, because you chose her, you chose that life. Now you want to step out, have that, and step out. So where is the loyalty and the honor between, as far as the man is concerned, and then the women? Like I said, we've gone probably too far with this movement. So on both sides, I can see how where it's there's some accountability to be had on both ends.
I agree.
Okay,
with the married man concerned, women usually go after the married men because they don't have to worry about answering, or they have the freedom to still, they got a man, they can say that they got a man part time, whatever time they put into it. And they don't have to worry about all the other stuff like someone to go home to and things of that nature. More of my friends that are married have women approach them. Then they approach women.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. And I know those are your boys. Is this something you saw, or is that what they told you happened?
I see it. I was married. I've been there.
Okay.
And it's when they see the ring, it's like it's a magnet.
Now, I agree with that.
I don't understand if it's just a challenge to know that you can get it, or it's that, you know what, I don't have to worry about him. I know he got to go home. I ain't got to worry about him, you know, coming around, popping up all the time. I ain't got to worry about that. I know he has to go home, and I know he has a wife. Then when everything hits the fan, because it will hit the fan eventually, then she don't want him anymore. Now, he done lost his family. He done lost it all. And she going on about her life. It's just it happens like that on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, question. How long y'all going to continue to fall for that? You know?
Well, you know what? I mean, because women make it so easy. Yeah, it's so easy.
Anything.
Right.
You ever heard that anything is easy is not worth having?
But it's easy. We're hunters. That's what we do. We're men. We're hunters. And if that prey comes to us, that's just easy pickings for us. That's what we do. We hunt.
Let me get you to the game. I know Steve Harvey say think like a man, but let me give you some tips on women. You are the prey. She was the hunter.
Exactly.
She can get what she wants if she has something over your head. Because you don't want her going to your wife. A lot of women make this how they live their life. They may have you and another. You may be paying something. Somebody else paying something. That's their employment.
Right. I agree.
But my question is, how long are you all going to continue to jeopardize your happy home for the trash in the street? A lot of men say, "Oh, I want a good woman." Well, a good woman is at home. But you will still fall victim by choice to something dressed up.
Well, who's to say she's a good woman because she's home?
Exactly. You know what, though? And also, just to add to that.
Your woman. If I say your woman at home, your wife. Hopefully she's a good woman if you chose her.
Sometimes we make bad choices.
That ain't just... That ain't
okay,
just men,
and
that's women.
And Dwayne, you're absolutely right. It is men and women. But Mike, so are you saying that because if you chose wrong, you justify by doing whatever because you chose wrong?
Oh, no, you never justify. You never justify.
Oh.
Wrong is wrong. Wrong is wrong.
Cause now,
but the
cause
problem
now even,
there is. The
well, because even this takes me back to the previous statement, though, because Dwayne said earlier that women want to think they want to throw the cookie, but if you're married, these married men are getting the cookie thrown at them because that's really all they're throwing at them.
Right.
I don't understand. I don't understand. You taking the cookie over here. When you got somebody, you'll take the cookie. When you not, when you're trying to find somebody, now the cookie's a problem. Help me understand.
Well, see, the problem is, it's not that the cookie's the problem. Then she wants to sparingly give the cookie once a week.
Right. Right.
Maybe
right.
once a month. You know what I'm saying?
Get control.
And we men, we can't go, you know, no once a week and think we're going to be satisfied. But in
unless,
the beginning, when y'all ain't married, boy, you're giving up the cookie like it's candy. It's trick-or-treat, Ryan.
Like it's milk.
Yes. But as soon as you got the brother, now you want to ration the poom-poom.
Well, that's the same thing. I can tell you from experience, they do everything in their power to pursue the woman. They come after her. They do all, I mean, they make it sound real good. Oh, if you were mine, this, that, and the third. And baby, once they get you, I can barely get you to pay me any attention. I'm just saying.
You know what, though? Here's the deal, though. I mean, you know, we are visual creatures.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, and Shannon, you know, we've had this conversation before.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are driven by physiques and looks and all those kind of things, not knowing anything about that person's heart, character. None of those things even matter. I mean, you know, you pop a picture up of a guy, six-pack chest, tattooed, women go ballistic. Married women, too. But then once you find out the realness of that person after you pregnant or your credit tore up or whatever, now it's like you broken. And my thing is it has to get to a point where we have to really, really, really want to date somebody because of who they are and not what they may have or what they may not have, but just who they are. And that ain't the norm. So that's the reason we have so many sick and infested relationships or brothers or sisters because of the past decisions that we made when it wasn't really using the right mindset. You know, everybody might not be saved, so I can only speak for the way I feel in regards to wanting to find somebody. And I want to know if you can pray, can you do some things that will move some mountains, and can we do this together, and can we live in the favor of what God promises are? I mean, I know our brothers don't think that way, but that's just the way that I choose to be. And so if I can't find somebody that has those criteria, then I would rather wait than to just, you know, bounce with somebody just because my little man are. No, I don't roll like that.
Well, I find that most people now don't want to live by Ephesians. And we're going to say women. I mean, they say the Bible states, if we're going to do that, the Bible states, wives, love your, submit yourself unto your own husband as you submit yourself to the Lord. Now, who and what woman submit themselves unto their husbands like they would submit themselves unto the Lord? And then God turns around and gives the man the strongest commandment: husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself. That means sacrifice it all. Who's doing that anymore?
Yeah.
Miss A, you sound like you was going. There you go. So
I also wanted to comment when he said men are visual creatures, which I can agree with. And a lot of men out there are looking for good women. However, that woman that has all the qualities you need may not be wrapped in that package you're looking at. So you have to stop and look beyond and look into that heart, get to know that person. And that's where, for example, my brother decided to marry a stripper out the club. His life was hell for 10 years because she knew how to shake her butt on a stage, but she didn't have a brain to think beyond. I don't think she could develop a thought. So it was no different than putting him in a beautiful red Porsche with no engine. Where was it going to go?
Mm.
But that was actually my point. What I said was, you know, men and women are visual, but we got to get beyond that. What I was saying, and what you just concluded is exactly where I think that's the only way that this is going to turn around, when it becomes that you are looking at somebody's heart more so than the print in their pants or you know, the size of their boobs or their butt. It has to be something more than that, because, you know, when that breaks down, that gets tired, then what do you have?
I agree.
And that's true. But the question is, we're visual. So if we're visual, you're going to go off what attracts you. That's just honest. If it's attractive to you, you're going to go for what's attractive to you.
So basically,
then you know the heart and the mind and all that, but that's the only thing we can do. You're going to go with
so basically, you're saying a blind man has a better chance of happiness than a man who can see something that's going to be deadly to him.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, anybody seen that movie Bird Box?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And at the end of that movie, who was it that survived? The blind.
The blind people.
So, Yep. And I think that, you know, and back to what my brother was saying, I don't think that, I mean, I understand with visual. I'm just saying that there's nothing wrong with dating a woman that might be, you know, whatever she is, and a brother that might be, as long as he's a complete package.
Right.
That's the whole thing. And it doesn't necessarily mean, the only thing I'm saying is that just because he may, you know, excite you in the look area, what about everything else? Because, you know, I used to write a short story novel called What a Man Wants, What a Woman Gives. And it kind of depicts four different guys, you know, different types, different walks of life. And I was very, very intrigued by how women are, I mean, you ladies get so, I mean, you guys are like into, you know, fictitious type characters. And y'all get stimulated just by reading certain things in a book. So if that's the sign that I got from writing those type of stories, then just imagine the real person that you meet. You know, I mean, if it wasn't for, you know, and it's men and women. I mean, that's the reason they go to strip clubs and women go to male shows and all that kind of stuff, because it stimulates, but it's stimulating the wrong thing.
Valencia, I think, go ahead, Miss A.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, I was about to go in just a little
bit. Go ahead. I just said I agree. Go ahead, Valencia.
going back to the visual part, I agree, and I don't think it's anything wrong with that. Because I do believe a lot of times both men and women get too comfortable in a relationship and they let themselves go. That's not meaning the woman needs to look like Tyra Banks or somebody like that. But I do believe that women should keep themselves up, because I see a lot of, you know, and I'm sure the men could agree. A woman get comfortable in a relationship, and you met her, and she was eyelashes and nails, and then next thing you know, y'all in Walmart, she got on her bonnet and pajama pants. So, and with men as well, like, I think that the visual is part of it. That doesn't mean drop dead or, you know, you look like Idris Elba or Denzel or something like that, but that means, you know, keep yourself up. So that's my two cents on that, because I do believe that people forget that part when they get serious or whatever else in relationships, you know. So that was
what I wanted to add up.
Because I have to be mindful, you know, as a married woman, I have to be mindful. I know what my husband met. I know how we met and how I've always kept myself up. And it's not so much about him and our relationship as it is about me and how I feel about myself. So if keeping myself up makes me feel good, it makes him feel good, thus the relationship is better.
Right.
You know?
I agree.
So I can't, you know, I guess I kind of side with the men on that a little bit, you know, or when whoever is taking that side. But if a woman says that, you know, if I met you and you had a six pack into the relationship, you got a keg and a dirty shirt 24/7, that, if a woman says that wasn't an issue because you got a good heart, she'll be a liar. So that's what I had to say.
I agree. I totally agree. I had a young lady one time tell me, "You supposed to love me if I get to 300 pounds?" I say, "I'd be down." You be by yourself.
Wait a minute. What do you mean? Okay, well, first of all, hold on. I need to figure out who's line has all that static. Is anybody cleaning or around cleaning? Put your phone on mute, please.
Somebody cleaning. Yeah.
Let me understand something. Because to what you just said to me says your love has conditions on it. So as long as she stays the way she was when you met her, you good. If she just starts picking up weight, because you know they call that frappy. I don't know. They call that frappy. You know, they get happy. You start eating, gain weight.
You do gain weight. I will say that.
And I've been there. I've been there. You know, she had all.
I'm not saying three.
But hold on. What if she develop a thyroid and swell up or something? Like, come on. Like,
okay.
No,
that's
you
a
can't
difference. That's medical.
The same person.
That's medical. That's medical. I understand that. But I'm talking about you just swelling up for no reason. Go from 180 to 280? No, you can't tell
me. Well,
how
do you know it's for no reason? How do you know she could be having some kind of hormonal issue? It could be depression. It could be a lot of things happening.
I understand that.
Or it could be the chicken and Krispy Kreme.
Get fat and thank you. I'm happy, so I'm going to get fat. No, baby, no. We ain't doing that.
I don't think anybody goes in with the mind of I'm happy, so I'm going to get fat. I don't think anybody does that. You get happy, you're happy. You're happy and you're comfortable is what it is. You're comfortable because I don't have to put on airs.
I don't
have to do all this other extra. What you mean you don't want them comfortable?
I don't want you to get comfortable.
Not 300 pounds.
You know.
Not 300 pounds. Exactly. Not 300
him.
Pounds of comfort. No.
You know, I think we should save some of this for Saturday.
We got some more because I got questions specific for Saturday that I haven't even touched. But here's my thing. I'm not saying 300 pounds. I'm not saying that because that is excessive. However, to me, I don't understand how you say. Now let me go back because Mr. Mike, Mr. Alpha Male himself, you said. In the Bible, husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church, sacrifice himself, all of that. That's what you say. So what you're saying is you're not willing to sacrifice for her gaining weight because she gained 100 pounds.
I'm going to sacrifice and get in the gym. That's the sacrifice. Let's go.
Hashtag
listen,
amen.
Okay. Hold on. I mean, I get it, but what I'm saying, here's my thing. My point is, where is the unconditional love come in? Where does that take?
That's
on a condition.
That's acceptance. That's when you
accept people the way they are. You're supposed to accept.
Okay, I didn't meet you the way I met you. I didn't meet you that way.
But people change. Your body changes. You grow.
Okay.
Let me throw this out because women don't have this issue. What happens in a relationship when you can't rise to the occasion anymore? Because, you know, that just
that
happens
part.
At a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
What should she
what?
Do?
Well, you know, she's going to do what she's going to do. She's going to cheat. That's what happens majority of the time.
Not necessarily. So you just automatically say she's going to cheat.
And you're
majority
fine with that.
Time, that's what you're going to do.
But you're fine with that.
And that's
what can you do about it?
What do you think she should do? Y'all in this thing together. Is cheating the right thing? Is that the answer?
I mean, there are other ways of pleasing a woman if you can't rise to the occasion. I mean, I think that you know, if that be the case, then you need to actually, you know, get some medical advice to, you know, make sure it could be something that it could be medication, anything that could be altered to get him back on top.
Hmm.
So I don't think just the automatic say she gonna, that person gonna cheat because of that, you know, is the
but when she mentioned it was working.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
that
but that's like Shannon said, you meet a person and things change. You know, I mean there are people that deal with that every day, but I'm glad I'm blessed with lips and pipes, so I don't, you know.
Oh Jesus Christ. Oh God. So I got a caller on. Go ahead, caller.
I've been listening and I'm very curious. I've heard talks of alpha male. I've heard talks of loyalty. I am here to challenge no one. But I do have to ask this. If you love someone unconditionally, how is it possible to add in conditions and still love that person? That a man is only what his word is. That's honorable. If a man decides to change his way, then he cannot guide a woman. If that is his job, he cannot guide his children. He cannot guide his daughters. He definitely can't guide his son. If we plan to make a better generation, everything is about being better. When you take those vows, it says for better or for worse. So that means if you change within that, and it also says to death do we part. So now, if you change in the middle of that, that makes a man a liar. Is that from the beginning to the end? If that woman get 300 pounds, you go to her and talk to her and say, baby, how can I help you? You don't go out there and look for something what you visually see as better. That challenges the man that you are. Now, that goes for women as well. Because no man wants to go to work 10 to 16 hours a day, killing himself to provide for his family, and his woman's eyes are straying too. And that has been our problem. We have become visual, and it happened way before social media. It happened way before that. Think about this. We raise our sons to go out. Let me not start with sons. I'm sorry. They say ladies first. We raise our daughters to be little princesses, to choose a man, and do not spread yourself amongst all these men. They're planning for the wedding. The wedding day is glorious. They get the house, the children, and a wonderful life. Every man in this world would rather be with a woman who has been with no other man. But we go and tell our boys, man, go out there and throw your royal oats. Mess with as many women as you can until you find the right one. Don't settle down until you know. How in the world is that going to work? Because our boys have to find, all women can't be princesses with the wonderful wedding. And it's unrealistic to think that nobody is going to have sex or nobody's going to be, you know, just pure when we get to them. That's the old way, because we live in a world of evil. We want to do the worst thing. It feels so good to do the bad thing. Oh, I got away with it. We don't want to do the right thing. That is what a man is supposed to do. And I am not saying that I have never fallen victim to that myself. But it's the right thing, and it's the wrong thing. Until we get to that point, we're all doomed. There will be no conversation about what we should do, what we shouldn't do, until we have an understanding. So it starts with us. If we know, okay, now these are the ideas. These are the things that I see and have seen. And until we instill that in our children, it'll never work. But if you plan to actually have a happy life, you have to have a happy wife. And she's got to be happy because you're guiding her. Now, if you're not guiding her in a way, don't be surprised when that woman go out there and mess with your friend, somebody you know. We have to put in the work. We have to choose certain steps in order to guide someone. Because even though it's a strong woman, you cannot be a weak man and deal with a strong woman. And when I say weak, I'm not talking about physical. I'm not talking about running around buffing up to everybody. I'm not talking about that. You have to put in that time. So when you go to work and when you come home, do we go and sit down and sneak and talk to people? Do we go and sit down and actually take time with our children? Do we have planned nights? Thursday night is game night. We don't do that anymore. We don't lay out a plan for what we want our children to see. So when our children see how we react to each other, it only poisons the next generation. So if we're, I mean, that is the thing. I don't know if you've all heard of this before, but nobody's afraid of God anymore. People don't believe in God. We're a godless country. Let me ask you this. Is anybody familiar with the series? And I don't mean to give anybody in a plug, but has everyone seen American God?
Yes.
Okay. Let me tell you what I see. This is only my opinion. I can't guide anyone's life because I don't know none of y'all. But at the same time, think about American God. It's the old God versus the new God. The old gods would be in different cultures. In the particular series, it's Odin, Thor's daddy, Odin or whatever. But it would be God to us, and Thor would be Jesus or whatever. Zeus would be God, and Hercules would be Jesus. In all of these different backgrounds. But those are the religious, what we consider to be religious deities in culture. But the new gods are the internet, media, the computers, social media, all of these things. So they're battling to see who's going to win, because if we keep on focusing on what the picture of what righteousness should be, then we're going to forget what we were taught righteousness is. And that's a whole other conversation. It's not an easy conversation, because we don't even know should we believe all these things that we've been told, because you know all of us think we came from slaves who were given a religion. But here it is. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. So, I mean, we can argue about the fact, well, did this man actually walk the earth? Does this person actually exist? You know right from right and wrong from wrong. You don't go home and you don't go to work and start looking at the girl's butt at the copying machine and then forget about the woman who got your kids at home. That's just natural. But how about this? Sometimes when we're out there not looking at the girl at the copying machine butt and going home and doing the right thing, guess what the wife's doing? The wife's going out there looking at the dude at the copying machine butt. That's because there's no communication. We don't truly understand. We come together and we start to say, okay, well, this is the status quo. We're supposed to get married. We're supposed to have children. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You cannot do anything if you do not work for it. If you don't work for it, you might as well, just like if you don't go to work, them lights going to be off. J-E-A-O-U-C, anybody who got lights, going to come and snap that mess off because you didn't work for it and you didn't pay that bill. So it's the same thing. So in a way, we give our own, we contribute to our own misery because we're too lazy to put in the work. Sometimes we'll go to the gym, work out. Oh, all the women like me. You know what I mean? For me, it doesn't really matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. Yes. This random person just said, I got to go home. You know, I'm doing that for my fitness. Same thing with a woman. She goes to the gym, she works out. But when the admiration of other people, we start to get caught up in it. But we're a selfish people. Everything we do in life is for a selfish purpose. It's when you become selfless is when you become happy. But you want to pick the right person, because that person has to be on the same page, and that's a mistake. Because I think one of the guys just said that we are a visual people. The guy that wrote the novel, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, Dwayne.
We are a visual people, and that is one of our biggest downfalls. Visualization is a plus. That's a plus. So, I mean, I agree with what you're saying in that fact, that we have become visual, you know, and that's our downfall. I believe somewhere in the Bible, I'm not a total expert on it, but it said that the devil would be beautiful when he comes to you. Has everybody heard that before?
Something along those lines, yeah.
Something along those lines. I'm not a super expert. I have some knowledge.
Right.
I understand certain things. But that's the thing. What is so beautiful that you get just out of your mind for, that's the one that's going to hurt your heart. And I can even say that from experience. I can say it from experience. I've been on this earth for 47 years, and I've been in love for at least 3 weeks. So my point being, that's a little joke. That's a laughing thing. But now, but my point being is that we are visual people. I mean, not just us. The world has become visual, you know, and that's the thing. We let our eyes and our genitalia fool us,
yep.
Because true happiness
yep.
comes from neither one. You know, it really doesn't, because you can sit there and look at somebody that's so beautiful, and you can have so much fun. You can have them 50 pumps and them 10 seconds of, oh, my God. And when you finish with that, it's hell after that. And that's what we get. That's what we get caught up at. We're a civilization of pleasure, and then it brings me to what was it? Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, you told the lady, if you turn back, you're gonna turn to salt. The Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Well, that's Vegas right now. Everybody want to go to Vegas, and they don't want nobody to talk about it. That's the thing. But how about actually talking about your love for your family, your love for the person who you're with? I think everybody should have, you know, that moment of celibacy. I don't think nobody should have sex until they get married. I didn't live by that, and I think that's the most stupid thing in the world, because I didn't live by that. But that's the truth of the matter. We got what we talk about what we want and what we do, but we can never hold to what we should do. And by no means, I don't want anybody to think I'm preaching to them. I don't want anybody to think I'm perfect. I am not. If I told some of my stories, you'd be like, what was that boy talking about? What? But that's another thing. We look at each other like we're perfect. Even the pastor in the pulpit, we look at him, and the minute we find out he like Deaconess Erica Haley, he's the worst person in the world. But that man got temptations too. He got temptations too. We don't look at each other as human. We look at each other as society says we should be. But here's the thing about the universe, what some people call God. Oh, he'll let you, the universe going to let you know. Some people call it karma, but they're going to let you know. So it's the decisions we make, even if don't nobody know about it.
Mm-hmm.
It is decisions that we make. But we as people would much more prefer to do our dirt in the dark and then never come to light. But I know for a fact everybody heard this before. What you do in the dark comes to the light. You just got to be prepared. Be prepared for it when that light pop on, and that's the thing. So, it's a lot easier said than done, but that's the answer to it all. But who's going to do that? I'm about to go cheat right now. I don't know. I'm just saying. And that's a joke, too. I mean, but what I'm saying is that we have to have some sort of base, some sort of morality to ourselves. Men, women, boys, girls, we have to. And if we actually put in the work, even our kids go out in the street and get in trouble. But maybe if we actually took the time to go and have them so busy that they're too tired to do that. I mean, even after the Boys and Girls Club, even after we got them at basketball practice, you know what? Bring them home, put them in push-up position. Wear yourself out right now. Build your body so you can have a strong mind. Do that. So when you go to sleep tonight, you ain't trying to talk to nobody. You ain't trying to talk about nothing. In the morning, take your behind to school. Learn what these people got to teach you. It may not be exactly the truth. You learn what they need to tell you so you can succeed. You come home and you tell me, and I'll tell you the truth about it. That's the thing. It's called multitasking. Learn what they say. Come home, learn the truth. But the only way I can tell my kids the truth is if I actually put the work in to find out the truth. We got too much time on our hands. I know time is relative. I understand that. It's a 24-hour day based on the spin of the earth. But what's time when it comes to your next generation, what you want for your children? We can't even pass nothing down to them. Because if we can work an 8-hour job and all we do is come home and sit down and watch TV and all of that stuff, we can go and work 5 more hours. And that money can go into an account so that my child doesn't have a college expense later on. Or that could go toward tutoring so my child could be in an advanced state of knowledge so that we can have young entrepreneurs, business owners. We could all do that. But we sit here and we wait for people to give it to us. We wait for people to love us. We wait for people to give us affirmation. And that's a problem. Let me tell you what an alpha male is. An alpha male is he go out there and get it. He don't wait for affirmation. I hear a lot of people talk about alpha male, alpha male, alpha male. How many people you talk about, you hear talk about a top predator, alpha male? So that's me. I'm a top predator, alpha male. I eat alpha male because I go out there every day and I get it, I get it, I get it. And it's for my girls, my 15-year-old girl, my single father with two 15-year-old girls. That's what it comes down to. I'm going to give them every opportunity that they get. But if you're a top predator, alpha male, you'll do the same thing. Sometimes you have to come home and you sit down and you talk to somebody and you vent to them. It's not because you're giving up. It's not because you're giving up. I think that every young, old black man for sure is a top predator, alpha male. Do you understand what our history has been, but we still surviving? We sit here and watch these people kill our kids in the street. But we know if we go out there and go to war, we don't have nothing compared to what they have. So we have to be smart. We have to keep on pushing for the next generation. Sometimes in war, you got fallen soldiers. So a top predator alpha male will go back and say to the troops, which is your other kids, and say, look, this is where the mistakes are made. It's a shame that we have to have that conversation with our children. That's a shame.
Yeah, but it's got to be done.
It has to be done. Because we sit back and watch it. We sit back and watch it. And my last comment, in order to provide that for them, let me tell you something about how some people have gotten their wealth to where they control the world. They didn't talk about it. They're called secret societies for a reason. See, we always want to be a part of something. When I go out to my customers, I don't tell them I'm a black-owned, black-operated business because my customers are 90% not me. And they might pretend if I said that, oh, that's great, pity, pity for me, but they're not going to call me back. Think about that. We go on television, we go on radio. Oh, I'm black owned. I'm a single mother. I'm a single father. I'm raising these black kids. But the minute a white person go on that phone or go on that TV and radio and say any of that, oh, we boycotting.
Yeah,
we concern ourselves with things that truly shouldn't matter to us. And if we
this
and the
true.
Truth about it is, if we concentrate on our families, and then come together as a group and form family events. Guess what? You'll cut down the numbers of cheating. Most cheating go on. I mean, and it has not one kind of doesn't have anything to do with the other. But let me tell you something about cheating. It's all a secret. That's the thing. Cheating is all a secret. We do stuff to our mate, the person we claimed all this love for, and we don't even go out in public with them. We'll take the side chick in public. We'll do all that type of stuff. But now once you're out there and you got your wife, you got your husband, you got your kids, you got your grandmama, the mother-in-law, all that, all y'all out there together, now everybody know everybody. I used to be a club promoter, and what I came up with was the fact that what I was going to do, I was going to have a couples night. And my whole niche for the radio station would be, hey, if you're not at this night, you're ashamed of the person you're with. Do you know how many people, I'm sorry to say something, you know how many people would run to that night because it's going to be so much pressure at the house. Why you ain't took me over there to the club, blah, blah. You shaming me? You got another chick? You got another man going on? I mean, what? And that's the thing. We in the private about the wrong things, and we in the public about the wrong things.
Nah,
so it needs
the hashtag,
and I'm gonna
hashtag amen. Hashtag amen.
Amen.
That's all I'm
so
going to say
I'm
on
shut
that.
Up, and I'm going to listen.
Well, listen, we actually right at like 4 minutes left. So I'm going to just say this. Hashtag amen to everything from the great right reverend that just finished talking. And I want to address this. I'm going to be pure when I get married. So I don't know what you're talking about with that. I'm going to be pure when I do
Jesus
get married.
Jesus is a lie. I'm sorry.
But listen, thank you everybody that came in and had something to say. So appreciate it. Listen, if you are in Jacksonville, surrounding areas, if you can get there Saturday at 6 p.m., Fly Conversations Relationship Symposium. These kinds of conversations, plus I have flashcards full of questions that I need some answers to. So we going deep. We going to go there. We're going to have these conversations. And it's not an argument. It's not anything for anybody to be upset about, but it's all about us learning and getting to know what is actually happening in our community, what's happening between each other. So having said that, again, I thank everybody for coming in, for having comments. I love, love, love you all to life, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So until next time, love y'all, mean it.
Excitement.
Riveting. Love.
Forgiveness.
Shy.
Dawn.
Fly.
Fly.